The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to another week of The Drive. I hope everybody had a good weekend. It is the Monday edition, obviously. Bill, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here in the studio. Drew's back. Drew, how was Florida?
It was pretty good. It was hot, you know, Florida. So
yeah, I know.
It's been hot. Seeing my family and
that's good.
For my nephew's birthday.
Back here in time to get ready for the start of classes a week from today.
Got another week off of school.
Is that hard? Is that amazing? I mean, fall term is going to start a week from today.
It feels just like fall when it starts, right?
Oh, yeah, sure. Just like I nearly forgot Friday that Auburn City schools were in session.
I can't believe they start on Friday.
I know. Well, I guess, you know, I asked somebody why they did that, and that's so that you'll have one – so you only go one day, and then you got a couple of days to try to recover from the shock of being back in school before you start Monday.
That's not the worst explanation.
Yeah, I mean, that's better. I mean, at least, you know – The worst day to start is what Auburn's doing next week, starting on a Monday. That sucks, because then you got the whole week, and especially in the job that Drew's working over on campus, when you're dealing with new classes and things like that, and trying to get technology and everything to work on a Monday. Yeah, that's no fun. But
what's crazy is I think half the student population
already here
just does internet. Just does online classes.
You're probably right there.
Feels like it.
I was going to say, it's not just – I don't think it's just Rush, but there are a ton of folks in town. I noticed it Friday driving around. I mean, it was crazy. And I'm thinking, man, we're a week and a half from the start of classes. But you got Rush this week, and then classes will start next week. We're into week two of Auburn football practice. Brian, we'll get Brian's thoughts on what we saw out there for the first few days of practice. Tomorrow, let's see, I believe it's practice number 6 for Auburn tomorrow.
Because they did practice Sunday.
Yes, they did.
It wasn't mentioned.
They practiced Friday, which we didn't get. It was just a walkthrough, and then they practiced yesterday, and there was no media access. We've already had opportunities last Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
Right.
And we'll be back out
there.
We'll
be busy again this week.
Yeah. I mean, tomorrow, no media, no viewing window tomorrow.
What we get, is it Golish tomorrow?
No, I think tomorrow it's Tim Banks.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Tim Banks. And I'm doing this from memory again. All right, look.
Who is cornerbacks or
safeties? He's the co-defensive coordinator, and I think he's safeties. Isn't DVD the corner coach?
Yeah, that's right. That's right, yeah.
So, we'll get him and some players tomorrow, and then
probably some safeties.
Yeah, and then we'll get a chance to watch the first day in full pads Wednesday. We'll get a viewing window then,
and we get Larry Porter, which is a great coach to get for full pad day because that's a running back, and they're probably going to run the ball, and they might even actually
run the ball close
to tackling. We'll see.
Yeah,
I don't know if they're actually going to tackle.
They'll at least do some thud. Yeah, like that.
Yeah.
And then Friday is the first scrimmage. And we'll get Alex Golish after the first scrimmage on Friday.
We will.
So we've got another busy week scheduled. Look, want to let you know right here off the top of the show, if you're trying to call in, it's not going to work.
Can they text in? Is that available?
We'll have to check because the text box, we had some problems with it. Drew used to be able to check it. For some reason, Drew was the only one that had access to it, and then I think the number changed.
Oh gosh!
And
that's trouble.
I'm not sure. So yeah, I mean it. We're making it very difficult today. Today is a listen only.
Thank good it's not show. July though, right?
Oh, you're absolutely right about that. Yeah. We do have a little bit to talk about, but yeah, our internet is down, and you know how things are now. I mean here. We have internet-based phone lines. So the phone goes out when the internet goes out. So Brian's on his laptop. Well, I mean, I could get on my laptop and read the
I'm connected to my
phone. Oh, you are? Okay. Yes. See, I don't have a hotspot on my phone. So all I can do is I can look at my phone for some things.
There you go.
Because I do at least have, you know, access there. But, yeah, that's one of the things I don't have on my phone is a hotspot. So I was going to say, if I brought my laptop in, I'd just be able to look back at the last thing. And the laptop that I have in my car,
yeah,
I haven't used since Friday. So that would be pretty useless.
Yeah.
I mean, I could go back and look at some old things because I've got one at the house, and then I've got one that I have for here. So I didn't realize it till I was on the way, and it's like, well, too late to turn around and go back and get that. So sorry that we won't be able to take your calls today. I wish I could think of a way. You know, we used there's an email we had too. Email the drive at, yeah.
Well, you know, you've got some friends out there who have your cell number.
Well, that's true.
Who sometimes call the show.
Yeah.
One in Louisiana I can think of.
Well, yeah, you're
maybe
right,
he will text
right,
us a
you're
question.
Right about that. Or, I mean, we could just give out Drew's phone number.
Yeah, I'm sure he wouldn't
Drew.
Mind.
Yeah. No, we won't do that. We won't do that today. So, anyway, so yes, fortunately, we've seen a good bit of football practice. There's a lot, and there's a lot that's gone on in the last few days. Auburn played two basketball games.
They did.
And won the first one handily.
They did.
And then lost the second one in a tight game.
2 points, I think.
70-68, yeah. I believe, was the final. But a game in which Tahad Pettiford and Kevin Overton did not play a lot of minutes.
No, they didn't. I think Tahad tweaked his knee, but the report from over there was it was nothing, no big deal. We'll see. And then they got a chance to play a lot of players. Plus, they were minus four players for the two games. So that affected them a lot. Had to play a lot of walk-ons. But I think it was a good experience, good trip for them. You know, just team bonding stuff. You got all these new players playing together. It's just really important to
a lot of pasta. Yeah. No, yeah. No, that's Greek.
Yeah.
So a lot of heroes. I mean, I'm sure it was great. Yes, and the four players, George Kimball and Owen Freeman, have been banged up a little bit. We knew Owen had missed some time
with
a foot injury. It's not related to the injury that really affected him and slowed him down at Creighton, and he's expected to be fine. Yep. George, I don't remember what his injury was.
He had a couple injuries he was coming back from, and I don't know if this is a new injury or not, but
remember,
I don't think either of them were considered serious, and they're just being precautionary.
Well, yeah, these are guys that missed a lot of time last year.
Yep.
George, of course, sat out last year there at Vandy. So, so those guys didn't play. And then the two international players on the team,
right?
As pretty much is the case with all international players
right now,
are awaiting the NCAA's decision on the exact eligibility decisions. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of concern.
No, I can't imagine the NCAA. I don't
just
know how many
that's
kids.
That's it. You're all out.
I'm talking about, but I'm sure it's.
Oh, it's a substantial number.
You know, 20, 30, 40. I don't know exactly. But.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of LSU. I mean,
yeah.
if LSU's going to field a team, they need those guys.
So I just can't imagine them doing anything that would jeopardize their ability to play basketball this year without a big time pushback and maybe some more trips to. The courthouse.
Yeah, the NCAA, are they not getting tired of seeing the inside of courtrooms?
They love to lose, apparently.
Love
to waste money.
Well, I mean, they're back there now and trying to fight the guys that want that fifth year that weren't granted it initially when the 5-for-5 rule came up.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway.
They're losing, yeah.
Anyway, so those are the four players that were out. So you could see, Auburn was down half a roster, basically. For a good portion of that ball game against KK Mega Basket over there in Mykonos, they won the first game and they won it cruising. I mean, they were up huge going to the fourth quarter, only scored 12 points in the fourth quarter. They won that first game 92-71, and we're up like 80-50 something going to the fourth quarter of that ball game before they dropped the second game. Didn't sound like Stephen Pearl was terribly upset about it. I mean, he talked about how hard the Serbian team played, how physical it was, and how good that should be for this team.
Yeah, and I just think it was a great experience for those guys. And, was it was it Dowd who had the 10 points or 12 points and 18 rebounds?
18, yeah, 18 rebounds.
Woo, that's pretty good.
Yeah. He is, I mean,
that is pretty good.
He is going to be a huge, huge factor for Auburn. I mean, his teammates have even said, have already said about him,
yep,
you know, he's going to be the difference. He's going to be a big difference for this team. And he's a guy that I think you can count on for close to, if not double figure rebounds, just about every time out.
And the center, Bucky Aboye, I think is how you say it. I could be wrong on his first name.
Buki is how.
Buki. Yeah. There you go, Buki. I like
Buki
that.
Aboye.
17 points, a bunch of rebounds. I think he had close to 10 block shots combined in both games. That's great. That's great to see that. You know, a rim protector, something this team sorely lacked last year. And, you know, the way they built this team now with so much size, maybe not as much quickness, having that rim protector is going to be really important for this team as they get into the season.
Yeah, and then Adam Olson shot lights out
in
both games. Kevin Overton had a great first game, struggled in game two when Auburn dropped that loss. But yeah, they'll be heading back, getting ready for classes now, and I'm sure has some great stories.
Yes, absolutely. And if you get on their social medias, you can see the incredible place they played, and just I'm sure they had a great time.
Oh yeah,
outside of basketball, it looks like a terrific place to visit. Just beautiful ocean, and the place they stayed looked really nice.
Yeah, so that's sort of the update there on Auburn basketball. Meanwhile, how about Jackson Coivin? Not the greatest round of his, you know, life yesterday, but still to be able to qualify. He makes it in as the final qualifier for the cup, which they start competing for this weekend. Did it twice as fast as any player ever has.
Yep. Just off to, incredible start, right? Won two national championships for Auburn. Player of the year, and now he's starting his PGA career off just terrifically. Already got one win under his belt, and just so excited to follow his career for the next couple of decades or more, you know. But yeah, it's just unbelievable start he's off to.
Oh, no question about it. So yeah, we've got a few things we will discuss. We're going to get pretty heavily into football, though, obviously, as we've had three opportunities to watch this team practice. And we'll have some more here this week, and had a chance to talk to multiple players. I've been to everything except I missed the opportunity with Cody Burns and multiple receivers on Saturday because we had the 1-year-old grandson's first birthday party.
That's understandable.
And he had a good time. Everybody else had.
Did he dive his face into the cake or anything funny like that?
He spread it all around his face really well.
Nice.
I mean, did a very even job of. First of all, he had like a perfect goatee from it. He realized that that's some good stuff.
I'm sure you got some good videos and pictures of that too.
Oh yeah, he is. He's a big'un. I mean,
he
is.
Chunk?
As a matter of fact, that's what Big Sister calls him.
Okay, I like that.
Chunky boy.
A chunky boy. Oh, that's going to stick with him for a while. Oh, boy. That could be a lifetime.
I think he got that from either mom or dad.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's funny. Yeah, I tell you, I mean, I think they said he's in the 90th percentile as far as height, but he's in the 97th or 98th percentile as far as weight. I mean,
sounds like a future center to me.
Well, yeah, it's funny though. A while back, we were somewhere, and Benji Rowland was there.
Yeah, he was at practice. I think it was Saturday.
Yeah,
I
saw him.
Yeah,
but I mean, we were somewhere where Will was there. Our grandson was there, and this was a couple of months ago when he was like just barely little 9-10 months old, and so he wasn't walking. He's walking some now.
Okay.
You know, I mean, just turned one though, so that's okay. But I mean, so he got down on the floor and was in a perfect 3-point stance. And Benji saw him and said, I mentioned to him, he's like 9 months old, and he goes, man, that's a D lineman.
Yeah.
That's what he looked like.
Yeah.
And Benji would know.
Yes, he would.
So,
one of the best of all time. Yep.
Yeah. So we had a blast there Saturday. So yeah, I'll get Brian to sort of recap the highlights from Cody and the receivers
that
were there. We'll do that when we come back. We're just underway. Stick with us here on the Monday edition of The Drive.
We're ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. Drew back at the controls. Hey, our thanks to Brandon for helping out last week. Brandon was in, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Tripp handled it Thursday. I had it on Friday, so we still made it through. And it's not my fault that the internet's out. Everything was still working when I left on Friday afternoon. So we're here, and again, our apologies. Internet is out, and that affects our phones as well. So it's like the old days. It's like real old days, man. I can remember when I first got started and was doing a show with Jim over in Montgomery. It would be, yeah, we'd print out, I mean, the top stories of the day and things like that, because we didn't have like internet access.
Right.
This is like 1986. Yeah. No, we didn't. So it's like, I'd be checking the teletype, ripping the news off that we'd use on sportscasts and things like that, and have those stories along with our little notes and things like that. So today I have my phone. That's it. Don't have the laptop. But again, we've got a good bit we can talk about, and we're going to get we'll delve into what we've seen here. Auburn hasn't gone into full pads, and that's really when we'll be able to tell you much more,
right,
about, you know, where people stand,
especially the linemen.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. That's and the running backs and, you know, tight ends, those type of positions where you, you know, how physical you are and how well you play with the pads, full pads on, is really, really important. Mm-hmm. And they can start evaluating those guys for real once that happens. Although, once you really get into shells, you can start doing almost all the stuff you can do with full pads.
Right, just don't bring guys to the ground. You can,
right,
go ahead and...
Which doesn't happen a lot anyway.
You can make contact. That's right.
I don't know how much tackling they'll do, but that's just not part of football practice at very many levels anymore.
No, it can't be. I mean, one thing that's a little bit better now is your rosters are expanded a little.
Right.
I mean, you know, you now have up to 105 scholarships where it was 85, so you've got a few more. Although a lot of those scholarships in many places have been used to reward the guys who used to be preferred walk-ons.
Right.
But yeah, we'll know even more. But I think we've got a pretty good handle on who's competing for jobs at just about every position.
Definitely have a good idea on who I think are starters or competing for starters, and what players are starting to step up in certain areas. You know, mm-hmm, whether it be as a starter or as a key backup. So I'm not saying that's fully in focus yet, but we're getting a pretty good idea of it, I think, now.
Now the easiest position on the field is quarterback.
Yeah, that one's pretty set.
Yeah, I mean,
number two, I think I feel pretty good about.
I agree.
That.
I agree with you. I mean, and look, that's a situation where even though it seemed that way for the past few years, Brian, it's felt like, well, maybe it's not gonna be if things don't go so well for a game or so.
Right. Right, and it's one thing to know who your starter is. It's another thing to know that your starter is battle-tested and you can depend on him in a game. And Auburn didn't have that last year, unfortunately, and they had some inconsistencies there. I'm not sure that was really all in the quarterback's fault either the last couple of years.
No, you're right.
But I think they've got it now, and they've got a system that Byron Brown knows like the back of his hand, and receivers that he's played with, and running backs, and tight ends, and
center,
a couple offensive linemen. So he is in position to be a leader over there to run this offense. And the one thing I have seen and heard from other people who have had more time to watch practice is that Byron has been throwing the ball really, really well, been very accurate, has connected on some big plays so far during practice. And that, to me, is a great, great sign, because we already know that Byron is a very physical kid, can run the ball, ran for 1,000
yards last year. He's very athletic, right.
But, excuse me, we also know going up to the SEC, there's a step up in competition. Receivers don't get as open sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have maybe a half second less to get the ball off, right? accuracy really, really matters. And if he's performing that well in that area, I think that's just really important. Could be a good early sign that he's going to have a good year for Auburn.
And that's something that, you know, there were some questions back in the spring because there'd be days where Byram didn't have the best day.
Yeah. But, well, we saw A-Day, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, but DJ Durkin didn't take it easy on him.
No.
And I don't think Alex
Still
Golish,
not.
I don't
Still
think
not
Al-
taking
yeah, Alex Golish yeah. didn't want him to. And there was a reason for that. I mean, there's, you know, Every Monday, I spend a little bit of time with Doug on his show,
yeah.
The Max Roundtable, and you know he was praising Alex Golish for his forethought in everything, even the camp with the team, even though Joe Goodman and some folks have gotten some shots in at it being a resort. I mean, come on, give me a break.
give me a break. I hate to talk about other writers, right? I just don't
but I mean
like
that,
to,
that,
that's
that
kind
is
kind of ridiculous.
It is. Yeah. It is because where I mean I asked Doug, I said, where do you think these players are going when they get off practice when they live here? You think they live in dumps?
No, they
not
live,
anymore.
Right. Yeah, they live in really nice places and now they're going to a nice place, but they're together, and
that's
the reason
it's
for it.
It's just them.
It's just
that's
football,
there. It's not buddies and
girlfriends
and right. anything else.
Yep.
It is just the football team.
Yep.
But yeah. Anyway, what happened this spring, and I've heard a couple of players talk about it that they feel that, and Byram has even talked about it that he is quicker now responding because he's going against this in practice every day.
Yeah,
so that has been beneficial to go against this DJ Durkin defense all spring and here in the fall.
It's funny because we talked to Cody after Saturday's practice, and he actually brought it up.
Oh, is that right?
Going up against Durkin, he said, it's madness is what he said. That was his quote. He said, it's impressive what they do on defense. It gives you headaches. So for our guys to be able to adjust and learn and continue to grow throughout the springtime, the summertime, and really get more confident of the pictures, because there's multiple pictures that you see every practice from DJ, he does a great job. So that's Cody talking about how difficult it is going up against DJ's defense, but saying how much better they've gotten doing it and how much more confident they are.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're going to be facing big-time coordinators and talent, you know, every week in the SEC. So this is great. It's the old iron versus, you know, iron sharpening iron.
Right. It sure is. So I think that's a big part of the offense's development, right? It was big bringing all these players over on offense from USF that knew it.
So and they knew the system, but now they've got to get used to the speed and the talent they're going to see every single time out.
And
because it's not like one day in practice they face Auburn, the next day they face, you know, a Division II team in practice. They're facing this defense every single day.
And when Cody says it's madness, I have a feeling he's talking about Xavier Atkins, Elijah Melendez, Bryce Diaz, Jared Smith.
Cody Darian
Sigler,
Smith.
I mean, those safeties.
Right.
You know, it's just they've got a lot of players on that side of the ball, a lot of depth, and the ability to really create a lot of problems for an offense.
Mm-hmm.
Just their ability to run. All those linebackers I mentioned, they can all rush the passer.
Mm-hmm.
They can all drop back.
And DJ's great
what they're going to do.
DJ's great at using
mixing
different ones at different times, so you don't know where it's coming from.
That could be very confusing.
That's great. That is great. It's frustrating, and that's one of the things that, you know, I think Hugh Freeze was very cautious, concerned about doing that to take away from the confidence of his quarterback. But I can sort of see that when you've got a guy that hasn't proven himself. But when you've got a Byram Brown who has been with his head coach and with his coordinator and with these other players and understands what they want to do, I think it's great that you keep throwing everything at them and seeing how they handle it, and to see them improve and to hear that he is having a good start to the fall, I think is great news.
It is. And I'm sticking with quarterbacks. I think Tristan Tiaz can sling it.
Yep.
He's looked good out there from what I've seen, you know, personally and hearing from other people. And I don't think that's a knock on, the Brush Kid or
Lachlan Hewitt
or any of those guys. I just think those two guys are, you know, Byram's clearly the starter, the leader of this offense.
Yeah.
And I think Tristan is really taking the big step or is taking that step to secure that number two spot. And it'll still be a battle, you know, next year to see who, you know, actually wins the starting job after Byram leaves. But I think Tristan Tiaz certainly has the lead there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I think you're right. And, well, speaking of quarterbacks, so let's while we've got a minute or two before we get to the bottom of the hour, let's get your thoughts on the latest commitment for Auburn. And this is a 28.
Yes.
And Sam, is it Solly or Solly?
I think it's Solly. But big-armed kid.
And a good-sized young man to be just heading into his junior year in high school.
And I think they just reevaluated that class, and I think he's up to a 4-star. I don't know his exact ranking, but
I mean, he's already around 6'3", 190, 195.
Yes, and he had a good sophomore season, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
then, Gadsden City.
I think Auburn was able to see him over the summer, and they thought he was even better when they saw him again.
And my goodness, it wasn't like Auburn was battling air on this. There are quite a few big-time schools that were very, very interested in this young man.
And I just think it's so important for a school to get a quarterback commitment early in their class.
I agree.
That's
usually your Pied Piper.
Building block there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you're getting a guy, I think, that grew up in – well, I know he grew up an Auburn fan, right? He's from in-state. He's a guy, no matter where he is in the pecking order, as long as he feels like there's a chance for him to play and contribute and maybe start one day, he's probably going to stick around for a while. So that's always good to have those kids, especially at a developmental position like quarterback is or offensive line. You've got to have those players in your system that can be here for 2 or 3 years without necessarily starting.
Oh, I agree. And that's something I'll go back to to my thoughts on the camp situation. I think that is something – that is a very smart move when you're looking at how important retention is to try to get your team as close as possible and build those relationships. And I think you've got a much better chance of young men sticking around if they feel like they're part of something and have very close friends who are part of that same thing.
You are not going to compete for championships if you're turning over 60 players on your roster every year, as Auburn did, right? And 39 of those were transfers. Obviously, you're going to get the freshman guys in every year. But you've got to cut that in half, really, I think, to be truly, truly competitive and competing for championships. So, and of course, a lot of that was because of the coaching change.
Sure,
I think.
Absolutely.
And, I think Golish and his staff, I think they're really, 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 really into evaluating guys and trying to make decisions as far as 2-3 years down the line, not necessarily signing as many 5 stars as possible.
Yeah, right. But it's not just signing projects, but it's evaluating who they think would stick it out,
right?
Would buy in and stick it out. And that's something they had to do at South Florida. It's amazing to me some of the guys that were still there at South Florida that were able to come to Auburn with Alex Golish. I mean, tell me, Byron Brown and Cole Best and Chaz Nimrod.
And those receivers.
Some of those guys weren't just, had people just, trying to knock their door down again.
Yeah. I mean, I still got to see it, right? But I every time I watch Koger and as you mentioned, Nimrod and
Singleton
and those guys that transferred over from USF, I'm like, these guys are players. They're big, they're fast, they can run, they can catch, they can get yards after the catch. I'm just, I've been 5 years of it. I'm still. I gotta see it.
But still a little Missouri.
But I feel really good about that group, and I think it is a great indication of their ability to evaluate, project, and recruit players that not necessarily are 4 or 5 stars, but can turn out to be very, very good players in college and potentially on the next level.
Oh yeah. Now they recruited a few 4 stars.
Yes.
They got some 4 stars, but I mean I. Early on, I trust that staff's ability to evaluate.
So important. So important this era, right?
Oh, indeed.
You can win those 5-star battles and the Rivals 100, top 100 player battles. Yes, important. You got to have those great players. But if you hit on 50% of your 3 stars and somebody else is hitting on 35% of them, that's a huge advantage for you. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if those numbers are right, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, well,
right?
especially if those guys can get better and they'll stick around to get better.
Right, right.
I mean, one of the most frustrating things in the world is to get somebody and you feel like they're on the verge of being great and they leave.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, we had a few of those,
no kidding.
A few of those. But the quarterback position is a great example of that. And it's not just about getting the players. It's about how much money you can save at a position.
Mm-hmm.
If Tristan Tia can become Auburn's starting quarterback next year and be a good quality starter for a couple of years, how much money, how many millions of dollars does Auburn save by not going out there and signing a five-star recruit or a five, you know, a highly sought-after transfer.
And that, of course, is not to say, because I guarantee you, if Tristan Tia
becomes
goes,
a starter,
goes out and starts and performs right. very well,
he will get paid.
He will get paid. He will get paid to stay.
But he might not have made the $2 million as a freshman
initially.
Or
that's right.
$2 million in the second year.
You don't have have the upfront
yes.
investment.
Yes.
All right. We're just a quarter of the way in, and we've hit the quarterback position. We're going to go position by position, just what we have seen early on here in preseason practice as we continue here with the Monday edition of The Drive.
Pick 7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here in the studio. Drew at the controls again. Our apologies. I believe that they're working on the internet situation.
We got flashing lights
right
out
now.
There.
That's right. We got a truck out here. With its lights flashing. They're working. Hopefully, we'll be able to take your calls at some point here, but we can't do that right now, as our internet is down, but they are working on it as we speak. So Brian and I are just sort of going through position by position on the team.
We are.
Giving you thoughts, what we have seen here this spring. We mentioned quarterbacks, which was pretty easy. Running back, you mentioned it a while ago, Brian. We're going to get Larry Porter on Wednesday, the first day in pads.
Perfect.
And what a room he has. Look, Auburn – obviously returning Jeremiah Cobb from a year ago, nearly a 1,000-yard rusher, went out, brought in. Nakai Davenport came with Alex Golish from South Florida, where he was their number one running back, went and got.
He was a little banged. Was he banged up in spring? Am I remembering that correctly? Maybe not.
No, Bryson was.
Okay.
Tay Meadows was the number one running back at Troy, and then Bryson Washington was the number one running back at Baylor last year. And then
– Jeremiah Cobb was the number one running back at Auburn.
That's right. Yeah. And then Auburn had two freshmen last year.
Yes.
We saw Omar Mabson, who graduated early and came in, didn't go through last spring, came in the summer and worked his way onto the field playing as a true freshman, a 17-year-old true freshman, and then Alvin Henderson. And now, last fall, we heard really, really just great comments about young Omar Mabson. To see him on the field as a 17-year-old tells you a lot about him. But then, after Alex Golish came in, there were a lot of folks wondering, well, you know, who was going to stick around? Would either of the freshmen stick around? And they both did. And then we started hearing in winter workouts, Omar Mabson, how impressive Omar Mabson had been. And then all through spring.
Yep.
And it continued throughout the summer, and it hasn't stopped, Brian. I mean, when the first time, we hear Alex Golish here at preseason camp and offensive coordinator Joel Gordon, the first name each of them mentioned when they were asked about running backs, Omar Mabson. Yeah.
And it says a lot about Omar that he has earned their respect so quickly, right? Because this is entirely different staff, different standards. They run things differently. And whatever it was, he fit in perfectly with the way they wanted things done, and has impressed them from day one with his work, going back to winter workouts. But
and he's not – I talk to some people or I hear some people, read some people's comments that feel like, well, this is a great feel-good story for the local product who is a hard worker. And, yes, it is.
That's all true.
And
he
is.
Yeah.
But he's also an exceptional running back.
Yeah, Auburn, this is another one where Auburn's got a good one here, right? A guy that wasn't necessarily highly recruited.
He would have been.
Yes.
You know, I think if he'd let people know that he was interested in going anywhere and had then come back for his senior year and had been featured the way you would expect, he'd have been a guy that could have run for well over 2,000 yards in 7A football here at Auburn High.
And I had no idea he was going to look like he looks now 2 years ago. I just had no idea.
No.
He looks like a grown man.
I mean,
man
when he was a sophomore, it's like, well, he's a little undersized.
Yeah.
Because he's not the tallest running back.
Right.
But We've talked about this here on this show. You think of some of the greatest running backs in history, and they're in that 5'9", 200 and something.
Barry Sanders, right?
Yeah, Walter Payton.
Yep.
I mean, my goodness. Yep. Guys with tremendous balance, vision, low center of gravity.
Yeah. He's got a lot of that. And I'm excited to see him. He is going to be a featured part of this offense. I still think that Jeremiah Cobb is a starter.
Oh, yes.
But I do think Omar Mabson is pushing him for that job. And I think those are the clear, without a doubt, 1-2.
I don't think there's any question. Always the first two guys out there.
Yep. No question. I think that's going to be a strength of Auburn, that room. I think Auburn's got two good quality SEC running backs they can depend on. And I think they'll be more than satisfied if either one of those guys are in the game in an important moment of time, of giving them the ball, giving them opportunities.
Yeah, and when Alex Golish was asked about, you know, how many running backs can you play, he said 3.5. Yeah. Joel Gordon said, I want 4.
Right.
But, I mean –
And who those – that's more interesting, yeah, 3 or 4.
Joel Gordon explained it, said, you know, you want two guys that you're out there that you could sort of alternate and keep them fresh.
Right.
And that right now, I mean, it's hard for me. It's Jeremiah and Omar.
Yeah.
Now, your third guy – he said, and they want a third guy to give either one of them, you know, blows if they need it. Yeah. And right now, that's probably Nakai Davenport.
Yep. It might be Tay Meadows in there, too. We'll see.
Tay strikes me a little bit more as a
change of pace type guy.
Yeah. He's more.
But maybe that fourth guy can be that guy, right?
Yeah, that's right. He's a guy you can use on reverses or, you know, the, you know, some of the, that's the, my goodness, I'm blanking on a couple of the guys that Auburn's used there in the past.
I think Bryson Washington still has some growing up to do. Is that fair to say it like that?
I don't know. And is he completely healthy?
Right.
And if he is completely healthy, he needs to show that he's completely healthy.
Right. So he has been slowed by injuries. That's one of the things. Mm-hmm. I think also he just needs to mature a little bit. Not saying that he's anything bad about that. Sometimes it takes kids a little bit longer to, you know, it's a brand new program.
They're not used to it.
They've been asked for a lot of things. Sometimes it takes certain kids take some time to get used to it.
And think about a guy in his situation. He was number one guy there at Baylor. He comes in here and all of a sudden, wow, look at this room.
Yeah. So he has to adjust to that. He's got to compete. He's got to get 100% healthy. And, you know, we'll see if he jumps on board and gets going, because he's certainly very talented.
Yes, indeed.
Could certainly be a part of that rotation. Mm-hmm. But right now I think it's Cobb and I think it's Omar Mabson, and I think it's going to be a pretty good room. And I think they have a chance to be really productive with everything Auburn's doing on offense.
Oh, yeah. So I mean, Auburn will use multiple running backs, no question about it. And we'll go ahead and get into receivers here, because there's another room that is going to be really interesting. I think Alex Golish said to you guys down in Tampa he wanted 6 receivers is what he needed to count on, but you could use a 7th or an 8th.
Right.
And when we're looking out there, it's been pretty obvious who the top 3 are.
Yeah.
Chaz Nimrod is your number 1.
Right. And then it's Koger, and then it's
Deshaun Spencer.
And I have to say this about Deshaun Spencer, the true freshman. Every time I talk to a player, every time I talk to coach on the record or off the record about the receivers or about the young guys stepping up.
About the offense.
Anything.
He gets mentioned.
His name gets mentioned very early, if not first. This guy is having an impressive first 7 months or whatever it is at Auburn, whether it was spring practice, workouts, and now fall practice. He keeps excelling out there, keeps earning that trust from the coaching staff, and keeps making plays at that receiver position. So he is going to, if he's not a starter, he will be a key part of the rotation. And I can see him having a very good freshman year. And, you know, when a freshman comes in at wide receiver and does what he does, that's probably a really good sign that he's going to have a heck of a career here at Auburn.
Yeah, I mean, he is a playmaker. Yep. He's a guy that, you know, Alex Golish described it, said, look, I mean, he's used to winning, and he made plays at Saraland.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a powerhouse high school program in the state of Alabama who has turned out some great players over the past few years. I mean, Ryan Williams came along, and then here came Deshaun Spencer after him, putting up the same kind of numbers. I mean, he's a 1,500-yard receiver this past year at Saraland.
Yep.
And he is a guy that just the players rave about, you know, his ability to get open and then make plays once the ball's in his hands.
And if you look at the top three, Koger is 6'3",
215
plus.
Something like that.
Right. He can – as Cody talked about him and I wrote about it, even when he's covered, he can make plays because
right.
of that size and because of his physicality, right? Then you got, you know, Nimrod.
Nimrod, 6'2", two-something.
And he might be the fastest player on the team or close to it.
Right.
Right? So he can.
He's a guy that's going to take the top off.
Yes. And then you've got Deshaun Spencer, who is only 5'11", but extremely quick.
Super quick.
And just does a lot of things really, really well that maybe catch people off guard. So I think that's your top three right there. And then finding the next three and finding that top six, mm-hmm. I still think that's kind of open. You feel like Keyshawn Singleton, Keyshawn Singleton is the big receiver, yeah.
Yes.
You feel like Jeremiah Koger can work in there to the top mm-hmm. 4, 5, or 6.
Yeah. Because he's another 6'3 guy.
Right.
And Brian Williams is a 6'4 freshman who had a great spring, and you know, we'll see how he does to try to get in there. So you've got a couple more of the big targets.
Yeah, I meant Singleton as one of the top three. Yeah, as our top two.
Yeah, Koger was just a freshman this past year,
and a really good player too. Really mm-hmm. good size too. A lot like Singleton.
Very much.
Yeah, you know, you've got some other guys from. From USF, I think they have a chance. Christian Neptune, who's come back from injury.
Yeah, he's still wearing an orange, no contact jersey, but he's going through all the workouts and everything, and you can see his ability as well. He's another slot or inside kind of guy.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be tough for Sam Turner to push the top six just because he's coming back from that broken leg.
But boy, he looked good the other day. I watched him a little in practice the other day, and he looked good.
And he's one of those freshmen that a year ago was really turning heads until he got injured and mm-hmm. looked like, hey, Auburn found somebody here.
Yeah,
really good player. So give him some more time. Give him some more time to get healthy, compete. I think eventually he can push up and be part of that playing rotation at some point, whether it's later this year or whether it's going into next year.
And then Bryce Gaines, another flanker guy there that's in there where Deshaun's at the position where Deshaun Spencer is. Neptune's been in there as well.
Yep.
I mean, so they've got some guys in there. I guess there's Corey Pettigrew is another mm-hmm. guy from USF.
And they like you mentioned Brian Williams. They like Marchese too as a freshman.
So
they've got dudes that can compete for those spots, and some of those guys are not going to be able to play.
It's a good looking room as far as I mean. When I look and I couldn't say there's no talent after your top one or two or three, and sometimes it's been that way where you knew there's real talent, but there wasn't really anything much to in case there was an injury.
Just one senior in that room too.
Oh, that's right. Nimrod's the only senior.
That's the only one. So I'm sure a couple will probably move on.
You know,
that's just how it is. But that room's got a chance to be really good for several years.
One thing that was really, really encouraging, when you look at USF's numbers for last year and how many receivers, how they spread the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like one guy caught 80 and the next guy caught 30. Or you had a 1,200-yard receiver and then a 300-yard receiver. There were quite a few guys. I think there were about a half dozen players that caught 25 or more passes last year. So, I mean, that's a good way to be able to retain some guys, too, is, let them play a little and get them the ball.
Get them the ball, right, and make sure they know that the next year they might get more balls mm-hmm. thrown to them. So, yes. But I think that's going to be even though inexperienced, and every time you talk about the receivers, that's something the coach mentions.
Right.
You know, they don't have a ton of upperclassmen in that room. I still think they've got a really talented room that can put up some really good numbers.
All right, we've hit the skill positions. We'll hit the bigger guys, the tight ends and the O-line, when we come back here on the Monday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and AU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final couple of minutes here of hour number one. And good news, everybody.
Yes.
Internet is up. WOW has gotten here. And WOW, they took care of that quick.
They did. That technician took care of business.
They absolutely did. So not only do we have internet, we have phones. So we'd love for you to join us. 334-321-1390. That's The Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. We got time, I believe, to do a quick hit on the tight ends where Jake Johnson, who's been around, played at a couple of SEC programs, A&M, South Carolina, looks healthy, and it is a very good quality tight end.
I think they like him as a starter. They like his ability to block, catch, be a leader, just do everything you want to, for a tight end. A guy's a senior who's played 2 years at A&M, 2 years at North Carolina, just exactly what you want to lead that room. That's Jake Johnson. So Auburn feels great about him. And I think they feel great about the overall depth and ability of a lot of different players.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a room with a lot of guys with good size and athletic ability.
A lot of experience, too. I think the number two spot there is still, you know, in competition, right? But I think Jonathan Echols.
Jonathan Echols is a guy who has been mentioned a few times here this fall. And when we've seen him, coaches have been hard on him, but you can tell they're coaching him up because they have high expectations,
exactly.
I believe.
Exactly. He's a guy that's missed time here and there with injuries. It's kind of slowed his development a little bit. I think the coaching staff really likes his potential and is really trying to push him to take a step or two forward this fall now that he is healthy. So watch out for him. I think Xavier Newsom, the Howard transfer, who's still just a second-year guy, raw, but his nickname is Tree 66265. Right, Arliss Boardingham has a ton of experience. Played at Florida a couple of years. They like him, I think. If he can be more consistent,
Hunter Herring's a guy that was a quarterback at ULM, and they
really like his versatility.
Converted him.
So
he's 6'5", 230.
I think every guy we mentioned, we will see them at some point on the field this fall. I think you
may see multiple of them on the field at the same time.
They've even talked about playing three at the same time
in
certain packages. So those guys are going to be a big part of the offense.
All right, we're halfway done. Love to hear from you in hour number two. We'll continue with our thoughts, though, as well, here on the Monday Drive.
Call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Monday Drive. Bill and Brian Matthews from auburnsports.com here in the studio. Drew back in the saddle at the controls, and we'd love for you to join us. Yeah, first hour. We apologize. We didn't have phones. We didn't have internet, and now we do.
Got both.
WOW has come by and taken care of everything. So we're up and running, and look forward to hearing from you here in the second hour of the show. So what we were doing, we were going through and giving you our thoughts on what we've seen at the first few days of Auburn's preseason football practice. They had today off. Tomorrow will be practice number 6. We'll get to talk to Auburn co-defensive coordinator and safeties coach Tim Banks tomorrow, and then first day in pads on Wednesday, and we'll get an opportunity to watch that as well. So, man, again, our thanks. We appreciate the availabilities that we have had and continue to have with Auburn football.
Yeah, really nice just to be out there and see some of these guys with
their
eyes and get an idea of how they're lining up, who's going first in line when it comes to position drills. We don't get to see a lot of 11-on-11 stuff, but that's just,
No, that's fine. Yeah. I mean, I understand that. But, I mean, the thing is, as each day goes by, you can notice changes, too.
Yes.
And I'm interested to see there, Wednesday it'll be the first time we've been out there since Saturday. And see how things have gone since the team has gone into shells and are going into pads, and see if any of the, the lineup order changes any.
And we're just about a week away from some big decisions being made, right? You've only got this limited time in camp to make your presence known, to push into that top two or whatever that rotation is at your particular position. And if not, you're going to end up probably on the scout team. Or concentrate more on special teams and other things, right? So this is a
big don't have to worry about redshirting anymore.
That's right. They don't. So they can still play. They just play a lot more than they could before. But if you want to be in those top two spots, you want to be a big part of that playing rotation, now's the time to step up.
All right, we'll get to the offensive line here in just a little bit. But James is already called in on the Drive hotline, 334-321-1390. Hey, James.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Doing fine.
Hey, you may have covered it in your first hour, but what's happening with the punting situation? How's Hudson Cock doing, or is he going to be pressed by the new guy from Australia?
I honestly have not watched one punt so far this fall. I have not asked about it.
You know, they haven't punted while we've been out there.
That's probably one reason why I haven't.
I mean, we've been out there for three different practices, James, and I have not seen, I have not heard one foot hit ball, as a matter of fact.
But we do speak to the special teams coach. Let me see, is that on Thursday? I'm trying to think when that's going to be.
I don't know. Now that I have internet, I can pull back on my email. Okay.
Yeah. No, it's not Thursday. It's Wednesday. We talked to Larry Porter and special teams coordinator Jacob Bronowski. So we'll have an opportunity to talk to him about the punter and the kicker and really another
That's a good question, though.
Area of the team. We know who the kicker is going to be, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But the area of the team that we really haven't addressed a lot of is the return guys, right? Because they usually don't start really working hard on those until you
go into pads. Yeah.
All right. Well, look, I enjoyed the show, man. You know, keep up the good work. Thank you much.
Appreciate it, James. Yeah, glad for the question. Yeah.
And one quick thing on the punter. They brought in, John McGuire was here last year.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, from Thompson, from Alabaster. He's a sophomore. And then they have another kid from Australia, Max Bork, freshman, 6'4", 215.
And you know, those Aussie kickers are good size, it seems.
Yes,
like.
They are. Because they usually play
Australian rules football.
Yeah, you got to be pretty
good
for that.
You're
right?
Not just kicking.
Yeah. So we'll see how all that goes, right? I have really no idea how it's going to work out other than Hudson was Auburn's starter last year, has a lot of experience starting. So he would be the man to beat out, I would expect.
Yeah, I would think so. All right, we were going through positions, so we've got a little time now. And let's get to the position that I think so many people – have rightfully been concerned about because it has been a problem for Auburn over the past few years.
Decades.
Depth has been a problem. The quality of play has been a problem. Let me say, first of all, depth is not a problem for Auburn this year. It's even with the loss of Ty Buster for a significant period of time, this team is deep. On the offensive line.
That leaves them with 16, I think, scholarship offensive linemen without Buster in the mix.
And I can see 8 or 9 that are pushing for playing time.
Yeah, and that's what Auburn needs, 8 or 9 guys, right? Because you're going to have your 5 starters. You're going to have at least 3 guys who are ready to step in, center, a guard tackle, a left tackle.
And it's great if you have some flexibility, if somebody is a center guard or a guard tackle, so if one of your top 5 goes down, you can hopefully get the guys closest to being number 6 in talent, put them in there and shift some guys around.
I guess the one surprise I've had so far in the O-line is I thought that Simmons was going to be at the right tackle. And Stanton Rammel is going to be left, but I think it's been flip-flopped for most of the
At least
fall.
Thus far. Everything we've seen thus far, and Big Joe said the same thing when we had a chance to talk to him the other day, that he has only been at left tackle. But remember, he's been a starting left tackle for the past few years at James Madison, was able to be out there this spring, and they've worked him some at right tackle this spring before they moved him over to left. So it'll be interesting to see. Regardless, Auburn has a healthy Stanton Rammel, which right now has been very good news, and all the reports on Stanton have been very positive as well. I mean, from his leadership to his athleticism, and he looks the part. Both these guys, the tackles, they look like SEC tackles.
They do, and Wilson Zaire looks like he's going to be a starter at some point and a key backup this year to me, the true freshman. Certainly as a player that's going to be part of that too deep, in my opinion.
What I've been impressed with is what we've heard about a couple of guys who were out this spring. Jacob Strand is a guy who's been working behind Joe Simmons at left tackle.
Yep, can play tackle. I think he can move into guard if you need. He's got that experience. He's a transfer from Oregon State.
He started at both guard and tackle.
Yep. So look for him to possibly make a move. I don't have any question that Cole Best is going to be starting center.
No doubt. No doubt about that.
I still feel pretty good about Derek Plies.
I do, too.
One of the guards.
He's been out there running first there at that guard late spring and here all fall.
And I have to pick one of the players to watch out for. It would be Jacoby Ward, the second-year guard that Auburn signed a year ago along with Buster and – the other
big
kid.
Guy who's dropped some weight.
Yep.
and I mean, extremely athletic. I mean, we've seen a couple of other guys really working there at the guard spot, and Cole Skinner,
yes,
who has trimmed down.
Yeah, I keep forgetting to mention him.
Cole has trimmed down from the way he looked this spring.
Played there more than anybody else.
Yes, he has, and has played right there next to Cole Best as well. So he's been in there battling for one of those spots. There's another guard. Jack Lehrer.
Yeah,
is another guy. He's Stanford transfer who has played both guard and tackle, who was banged up this spring and is healthy.
Came on at the end of spring.
What I like is the experience that they do have with some of these guys, but then there is youth as well. And Derek Plies, you mentioned Jacoby Ward, Ty Buster when he gets healthy, Cale Ellis is your backup center.
Yeah, I do think Ty is a pretty big loss because I think he was either a starter or he was definitely six, seven, somewhere in there as far as a right tackle and our guard.
Right.
So I think that's a loss, and I think he will come back and eventually at some point, maybe not this year, but he's going to be a starting offensive lineman for Auburn. He's a really, really talented player.
And it was interesting when Cole Best was talking about who he's rooming with. That's his roommate.
Yeah.
Is Ty Buster, and he said, yeah, he thought that it may have been strategic in that he went through injuries and had to miss a significant period of time back a few years ago, and he can really relate to Ty as far as the mental part and how tough it is going through this and then coming back.
Yeah, and I think we've mentioned 7, 8, 9 guys there.
We have.
I feel like so. And, you know, somebody else could step up, too. We didn't mention there's a bunch
Parker
of other
Pritchett's
freshmen.
Been mentioned a couple of times.
He's a freshman,
T.J. Hedrick.
And we haven't mentioned Cale Ellis, who started 2 games as a true freshman last year.
I mean, Hedrick's a transfer from Ole Miss.
Yep.
I mean, they've got there's more quality depth on the offensive line. Now, you still got to gel, and you still got to see it, and they've got to prove it when they get out there.
This is really the last week for those guys to compete.
Don't we get Tyler Hodanik?
Yes, we do.
One day this week. Maybe him Thursday.
I think it is him and somebody else on Thursday, which would be good, too, because this is when those offensive linemen.
They've been in pads for 2 days.
Yeah, so
by the time we get Hudanik.
We get him and Vontrell.
The line coaches on day 2 in pads.
Yeah.
You know what?
I hope they'll talk a little smack about each other.
All right, that's either Wednesday or Thursday is when I need Don Dunn.
Yeah.
Out there with us.
Yeah.
Because Don, Don said he can't make it Saturdays because Fridays he has to work late. He said, 9 o'clock's usually doable for him. So,
okay.
So yeah, we'll see if we can't get Don out.
That'd be awesome.
I mean, you talk about some expert eyes.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So. I bet he'll want to jump in there too, maybe. You know?
Yeah.
Or maybe not. Maybe.
Well,
not.
I don't know. Yeah, that may be something we may have to, try to restrain him.
Yeah. Yeah, but
make sure he didn't yell at him.
He can coach up a defensive lineman. I loved him and Terry were just so great to cover those two guys for the, I guess, 10 years or whatever.
I'm telling you, I have been extremely impressed with Vontrell. Yeah. I mean, his line, the line play, you know, people were a little concerned. Here's a guy he hasn't had a chance to prove it. What I love is he is playing he's counting on multiple guys, building up their confidence, and he's also been a heck of a recruiter. My goodness.
He really has. He does a great job, I think, of building relationships with those guys and coaching them hard, which can be tough to do sometimes, but he's got that ability to do that. And I think him and Auburn made a great evaluation with Cody Sigler.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to step right in and be a really good SEC player. I think getting back Dallas Walker was so big for this team at nose.
Dallas Walker looks better than he did a year ago.
Yeah, yes, he does. He really does. And, you know, I think Tavian Branch, I guess we're jumping right in the defensive line.
Yeah, why not? Let's go from one side to the other.
That's a freshman that's going to play, and he's going to be good.
He is a grown man.
Yes, and he you can see the difference in him from spring to fall already.
Oh, yes.
You can already see that training table working on him and those summer workouts and winter workouts. So, I think the biggest thing to me with the defensive line, Darius Smith is probably the number 3 guy there, is just building that depth up. I think they've got some players, but there's not a lot of experienced players behind those
Yeah, because you've got, Malik Autry and Jordan Crawford, who are a couple of other sophomores, and then Walter Mathis, the sophomore transfer from LSU. I get a feeling of just hearing them coaching him that they think there's something special in Walter Mathis. We'll see. I mean, man, Auburn can just hope, yeah, we're going to get another sophomore transfer from LSU who's going to explode like Xavier Atkins.
Maybe not
did.
Quite.
No, there. No, no. But
he can fill an important role because I think over the first month of the season, you know, you've got to get those back up, the number three guys,
rotate
them in there.
The weather is just so brutal.
So they're going to get that.
You're going to need depth.
They're going to get that experience, and then you're going to start feeling a lot better about the depth there and you know, what they can do once they get into October in November into the heart of that schedule. But I feel great about the group overall. I do think it's important that guys like Sigler, Dallas Walker, and Jared Smith over the defensive end stay healthy. I think those are three key guys.
Oh, yeah, I agree. But, I mean, just on the interior, we probably mentioned 7-8 guys there on the interior just on for two spots. Yeah. Didn't he mention St.
Ferrier?
Yeah.
Yep. And so, I mean, the Wells kid, I think.
Cody or Corey?
Corey, I think. Is he the
is
one?
Is Corey the inside and Cody or Corey?
Chris is the
Chris is the end. Okay.
Yeah. And then Corey's the bigger
big lineman. Yeah, so I mean, they're good numbers in there. Again, like you said, experience is the biggest concern. There aren't as many guys with experience there. Right. Now on the outside, at defensive end and the rush end, it's really been tough thus far since we haven't seen them line up 11-on-11 to be able to tell. A lot of times we've seen them do some of the drills where somebody is on one side and somebody's on the other, but I mean, Jared Smith
looks great.
Yes, he does. but I mean, with Jared Smith, Deshaun Womack, Nate Johnson, those are three impressive looking guys.
They are.
I want to see how they play.
And J.J. Falk and Jaquez Wilkes look pretty good too.
Oh, you're right there
for sure.
You're absolutely right.
So I think this is a lot like
we haven't really seen Chris Murray as he's still working his way back.
But I think this is a lot like the defensive interior guys, is that you've got some guys you feel good about that are starting, even though Jared Smith's not very experienced. He's one of the best players on the team, I think, overall. If you rank one from one to whatever it is, 90 something, you would probably have him pretty high on that list. But there's not a lot of
it's not proven
yet. Experience, right? Yep. Guys that have really affected games and done a lot of great things. There's a potential in a lot of these guys.
A guy who's stuck it out, and I think has looked pretty good here, at least in the drills that I've seen, is Joe Phillips.
Yeah, what a story. You can't help but root for a kid like Joe Phillips, highly recruited, picked Auburn over Georgia. Basically didn't play for 2 years. I think everybody expected him to transfer somewhere, stuck it out, got with a brand-new coaching staff, made an impression over the winter workouts, over spring, and now he's definitely at least
he's
in the
pushing
top
for playing
two.
Time,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, in that rotation right now, I feel like, for sure.
Yeah, so that's the defensive front. We'll get to our first break. Hey, don't forget, it's Monday. Yeah. We got Brian's Musings coming up around the bottom of the hour, but we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 as we continue here with the Monday Drive.
War Eagle, this is Coach Larry Vickers, and you're
Bill and Brian here in the studio today. B-Matt, of course, from AuburnSports.com. Just to talk a little bit about what folks will find there, because there's so much coverage of fall football and as much coverage as anybody could find on what's going on in just about any other sport.
I mean, we've got stories, of course, on basketball and golf, recruiting, not just the commitment over the weekend from the quarterback, Sam Soley. Also, some of a list of top 28 targets, and Auburn is really recruiting that class very hard. And getting a bunch of guys to list Auburn pretty high on their list. And I think Auburn's going to probably start picking up a lot more early commitments now there. And, of course, more than anything, we are trying to blow out our coverage of fall camp. Tons of stories there, and we'll continue to roll out more and more stories there daily.
Videos.
Highlights.
Yes.
Interviews. You name it. Tons of stories. Tons of observations. When we go to practice, we come back and immediately do something on, hey, this guy was running with the first teams, or this guy was, you know, first in line, or this guy really stood out today, those type of things. I think fans are really interested and want to know, get an idea of who's kind of stepping up this early part of fall camp.
Oh yeah, so you can continue to look forward to that every day. Now, we don't have a media window tomorrow, but we will have interviews with with Tim Banks and some players
after practice. Yep.
So yeah, you would imagine safeties and what a safety room. Well, let's jump to the back end. All right, we did the D line. We'll go to the back end and then work our way back through and sort of come leave linebackers. They're maybe the best for last.
Yeah, that's easy to do them, right?
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, my goodness, Auburn has some options there at safety.
They really do, and I think that just the two starting spots there is still what a competition. Eric Winters, Harris, Anquan Fagans,
Sly Smith.
Yep, Sly Smith, who also plays nickel, and I think he's a little banged up now, but
yeah, he's been working out on the side. Yeah,
but he'll be fine, and he is a guy that has really stepped up as a leader on and off the field. I think he's just a really important player for Auburn, and I think they're going to find ways to get him on the field. And that doesn't even mention Champ Anthony, who was another one of those guys, I think a lot like Omar Mabson, not a young guy, but a guy who immediately impressed his new staff with his work ethic, his attitude.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you take him down to media days, after he missed the most of the spring with injury.
That says a lot.
And it does. And he's a guy that one day he's been at corner. The next day he'll be at safety. I mean, so he's working at both.
Play nickel.
He's that jack of all trades. I mean, he can help you anywhere. That Fred Gaskin is a guy who's
a guy who's taken a step forward from the spring.
Oh yes.
Clearly, it took him a while to learn this new defense, right? It's a lot, and you know, you've got to make adjustments and you got to do a lot of different things. But he has a ton of talent, and that talent's starting to show now that he understands the defense a little bit better and can just play ball.
Yeah, and there's also Jacoby Matthews, who this spring, all of a sudden, it's like, maybe forgot about him last year because we didn't see him after he transferred after not playing football for a full year.
Yeah, I think he's more than capable of being a starter and or a key reserve. And there's also Wayne Henry.
Oh, my goodness.
Who
looks
like he's another freshman that was not super highly recruited, but it's going to end up being a good player. And to me, it looks like he's going to be starting either safety or nickel here within the next couple of years easily. He plays hard. He works hard. You can just see he's got that it factor. He's in a tough position now because all the veterans ahead of him, but he's a player, and players are going to find a way on the field.
Man, but I can't imagine any coaches being concerned about having that kind of wealth of talent. I'll tell you what, our caller a little while ago was talking about punting. Special teams.
Yes.
You're going to see a ton of these guys on special teams.
You want safeties and linebackers and those type players.
They can run and they're physical.
Yes. And Auburn, their coverage teams, I mean, we'll see, right? There's a lot that goes into it, but they have a chance to be really, really good just because they have so many talented players who are in the 6'1", 2'10" type range that can all run and hit and play physical. That's going to be big. A guy like Wayne Henry can really make a name for himself on special teams early on in his career as a freshman.
Yeah, no question. Now, corner is a little different story. I mean, there's still numbers there, but there's not near the experience at corner as there is
in
safety.
And I still think that's pretty open even for the top two spots. I know Andre Jordan is probably
he appears to be your number one.
Yeah, but I still think there's a lot of competition there. I will mention one guy that stood out to me that maybe nobody's really talking about, Pat, and that's another USF transfer, Gavin Jenkins.
Long corner.
I think he's 6'2", every bit of 6'2", close to 200 pounds. Can run. I was watching some quarterback drills, and he can really hips and his turn radius.
His back pedal and turn is something
smooth.
Special.
Yes.
And again, that goes back to something I was saying in the first hour. When I watch these guys, and I go, yeah, that staff could evaluate talent.
exactly. Another kid from USF who was just a freshman last year. So he's had to come in as a young guy. He's had to come in as a guy that's learning a brand new defense, and I think he's in the top three or four easily.
Oh, he definitely is.
For one of those quarterback positions right now.
I mean, Rashawn Pleasant and Blake Whitby are the other two guys that are in top four.
Yep. I agree 100%. So, you're leaving out guys like Scrap Richardson, who has a really high upside, a Notre Dame transfer. Shamar Anou, who was recruited very highly by the staff a year ago, I guess, went to Florida State and now is here. I think they love him a lot as a corner or a nickel eventually. So, I mean, you've got Kamari Todd.
Kamari Todd and Demonte Tabb are a couple of guys that look pretty good. But, again, they're inexperienced.
Yep. So they've got some depth there. And that is still a very inexperienced position overall. The most inexperienced position, I think, Cole, who does a lot of our evaluations for us, whose opinion I respect a lot, he had that as the you ranked the positions, that was last. And I think a lot of that has to do with
it's not proven.
Total lack of SEC experience for those guys. But I think they've got some players over there. There may be some learning curves to come in for some of these players. But I think over time, they've got a ton of size, a ton of experience. I mean, a ton of talent, not the experience yet. But as that catches up with them, I think Auburn's going to be in pretty good shape there.
Yeah, I agree. And that sort of leaves us with the linebackers, which is – my goodness, as impressive a linebacker room as maybe I've ever seen at all.
I agree, and I don't think people outside of Auburn are really understanding that yet.
Well, I mean, one thing that's good, Xavier Atkins. I see it. He's made a couple of preseason All-America teams, which he should after being an All-American last year, and he's every bit of that.
Yep.
But I mean, the room, it's like they're a bunch of ex clones. out there in that room. I mean, because they all can really, really run.
Yes.
And it is as athletic a room.
Yes.
As you're going to find there at linebacker.
And I mean, big. Elijah Melendez just looks like
Elijah Melendez is a monster.
He's one of those guys, if you're a running back or quarterback and you see him over there, you're like, oh, God. You know, please don't make me have to block him or have to break a tackle by him. But him and Bryce Diaz, and then the guy that nobody talks about, who was one of the best defensive players on the team 2 years ago.
One of the most highly touted guys that Auburn had brought in on the defensive side of the ball, DeMarcus Riddick.
Yep. And he is healthy now. He looks great out there. He's moving around.
Doing flips. He's out there running, doing, just looking like he's having a great time being out there.
Yes, and he is a lot like those other three that can – rush the passer, get in the backfield, make a tackle for loss, or drop back in coverage when the quarterback's not expecting it and make a play in the secondary. And you know, he's just so talented, and so is all four of those guys I mentioned. And, you know, I think they've got some good young guys coming on. Shedarius Tootle, coming out of high school, I didn't really evaluate or see a lot of him, but seeing him out there, he's got length to him. He's got athleticism. He is not what you would think is some – basic middle linebacker. This dude can run, got some length, so I'm excited to see what he becomes in the coming years. And then you got
the Balogun Ali is another good-looking freshman, but the transfer.
Matthews Canty.
Yeah, Matthews Canty. He's big.
Yeah, he is.
He's a big dude.
He's thick, and I think he's going to fill a role there depth-wise. And, you know, you talk about the safeties. Linebacker's also really, really important on special teams, too.
Yes.
And Auburn's got some really – I mean, I would not want Bryce Diaz closing down on me if I'm trying to return a kick or a punt. I'm just telling you. I would just go ahead and take a knee.
No. So, I mean, we've pretty much gone through the team again. We haven't really had a chance to see special teams.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't recall seeing a punt or a place kick while we've been out there.
No, I don't either. But we will. And the one thing I will say about
I'm not concerned about Alex.
Is he looked great?
Yes.
At SCME Day, just looked terrific, healthy, ready to go. Talked about, feeling good out to 60 yards now, which is so important. I just think he is a weapon for Auburn, and I think this team, with the way they run this team, the offense, they're going to use him better. He is going to be able to impact games more than he did a year ago. I feel like.
Oh yeah. So that's our thoughts as they head into full gear here in the next couple of days. So we'll update that as we go along. But that's how things are going. I've been impressed thus far. I mean, again, a lot of energy. They keep things moving. They keep everybody moving.
They do.
And
it looks like one team until two separate teams.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. The offense and defense. All right, running at the same speed.
Yes, they are. And, I'm not saying this is the most talented Auburn team I've seen.
No.
But I do see some real spirit out there from these guys. I think people are going to be proud about the way they play, the way they compete. And I don't want to make too many predictions, but I think this team has a chance.
Yeah,
I think they've got a chance to do. I'm not saying compete for champions, but a chance to lay a foundation.
I think they'll have a chance. You know, every time they go out there, they'll have a chance. I mean, and there were some times last year that even though it appeared that you didn't feel it.
Yeah. Well, having a team that is together and that believes in each other and trusts in each other and the coaching staff, you know, when you go 1-9 in those one score games over 2 years, I don't think teams that have that togetherness go 1-9 in one score game.
I agree.
I just don't think that happens. So I think just right there is a big improvement for this team.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. It's Monday Musings. When we come back, stick with us. Hey, you can join us, 334-321-1390 on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, here on the Monday Drive.
On ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill and Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. It's Monday, and Brian, each week, posts his musings there at AuburnSports.com with some thoughts on Auburn athletics, sometimes just the scene in general, college athletics, and then some musical musings. Which direction did you go with as far as the athletics thoughts
well,
today?
I talked about winning the margins, and that's something that Auburn has to do.
And that's something Alex Golish has really preached.
Yes, and you know, Auburn's not going to have a $50 million football roster. Yeah, I think theirs is around 35 or so this fall, and but they can still compete with that type of roster, with that type of discrepancy there, if you do a lot of little things right. And you know, I mentioned a lot of different things you could do, but Cody Burns, unprompted, talked about it the other day, Saturday, when we talked to him. He talked about wide receivers blocking. He said that's one of the things in the margin where perimeter blocking, being a dog, and making plays out there can really help the running backs and quarterback when they're running the ball, and can be the difference between, you know, a big play. So,
and he really understands that. He was excellent at that.
But you know, there's a lot of different ways you can look at Deshaun Spencer, a guy who was, I think, committed to Duke. USF was recruiting real hard. That is a great evaluation by Auburn to get him here, and now you're looking at a guy that's going to play or start as a freshman and have a great career here, most likely. So that's making a great evaluation. That's one of those margin things. If you can do that better than other schools can, that can make a difference in your football program. And
man, it can be the difference in a 5-yard gain and a 50-yard gain.
Yep.
I mean, you make that block on the corner.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, and I talked about late game management. If you watch the NFL, you will see coaches fumble it sometimes still, right? And so, you know, if you think about that, college football, that can make a difference if you are considerably better at that than other coaches, and maybe one or two wins a year, possibly. So, and then what we talked about right at the end of the last segment, that togetherness, that belief in each other, trusting in each other.
Right.
That's another margin, which, you know, if you really have that, if that's the culture of your program, I think that can make a difference, especially in the fourth quarter, especially when you need to make those game defining plays. So all those things are in the margin. I think all those things are things that, you know, Coach Golish and his staff are really pushing this team to do better than they have over the last few years. So I think that's important. And then Monday musing-wise, I think this is one you're going to get, all right? And
okay, so we're going older.
Yes.
Well, a little older than last week. Last week, Drew wasn't here last
17
week.
17 years.
Let's
see if he can get it.
Yeah, let's see if Drew has an idea of last week's.
I'll have to find what the opening was, though. I don't remember exactly how I
read last it. Week, I was lost.
I think we were going back 17 years to a 12-year-old singing a posting a video
Taylor
of her
Swift.
Singing a Taylor Swift song, and then 9 years later, I forget how long, 9 or 10 years later, opening for Swift on the most
on her Eras tour.
Yeah, on her Eras tour. The
is it someone popular?
Oh, someone who's extremely popular.
Boom, got it.
But
yep.
See there,
yep.
That we needed Drew here last week. We would have got the room. Yes. Would have gotten it.
Yes.
So yeah, it was Sabrina Carpenter last week.
Yeah. So this week, We're going back 63 years.
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay. We're going way back.
Yep.
To 1963.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Okay. But I still think you're getting
this. I wasn't old enough to be
right
knowing really much about music back then, but I may know music history enough.
This is the first live recording to reach number one on the Billboard 100, which was sung by a 12-year-old artist.
Oh, I got
at
it.
The time.
I got it.
Yes.
And I can even tell you that it's yep. Fingertips Part
yep.
Two.
That's I knew you'd have it. Yep.
Stevie Wonder. Little Stevie Wonder.
Little Stevie
Wonder.
Wonder. Wonder, right. He dropped a little
oh, yeah.
After a few years.
Well, he was 12. He was little.
Yeah, he was. And this is actually the second Motown song to reach number one. You know what the first one was?
Who was the group?
Marvelettes.
Mr. Postman.
Please, Mr. Postman. Yep, that was the first number one. So he was the second of that group.
Motown, that label did pretty well.
Yep, yep. This was recorded at a concert, the Motortown Review at Chicago's Regal Theater back in 1963.
Wow.
It came to number one. Also, his album that it was on also reached number one. So he became the first and the youngest ever artist to have a number one album and single at the
You're
same time.
You're going to have to top a 12-year-old
yes.
to yeah. be able to beat that.
So,
wow.
Yeah,
and it's not like he was, 12-year-old and then you never heard of him again.
No, plenty of hits in the 60s,
My goodness, man. I mean,
70s,
I got three straight albums. Wait, we'll get back to that momentarily. Yeah. I was going to say, talking book with You're the Sunshine of My Life and
yep.
Superstition, and then Songs in the Key of Life and Inner Visions
mm-hmm.
are three. Yep. I mean, I'm sure he's had more, but I got those three great albums.
But, you know, he had hits up into the 80s. That's what Friends Are For with
oh, yeah.
Dionne Warwick, Elton John, Gladys Knight. Part-Time Lover was another one of his 80s hits. He has won so far 25 Grammys, which is the most by a male solo artist of all time. He's won an Academy Award. I believe that was for a song that was in Lion King, maybe, or something. Some, I'm not sure exactly what it was in. And then he's also in the Songwriters and the Rock and Roll Hall of
Fame.
Oh,
yeah, he should be. Yeah. No question.
One of the greatest artists of all time, over 100 million records sold. So incredible career and still going.
Yeah, and just amazing musician. Yep. I mean, plays everything.
And I guess for those who don't know, was basically blind to both eyes at birth.
Yeah.
He was prematurely born. I forget what the it was called, retinopathy of prematurity.
Retinopathy.
Yeah. And it had something to do with being born early, plus the oxygen and I guess the chamber that put you in resulted in his permanent blindness there. But everything he learned by ear, right? He didn't
yeah.
have like
– he
was classically trained.
Yeah.
But he hit, by age 7 – he had mastered the harmonica and drums, and he had mastered the piano by age 10. Signed a contract with Motown at age 11. Incredible.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tremendous career and unbelievable musician,
yes. Yes.
Stevie Wonder. Wow. What was his? That's all I know him by. Is that, that's obviously not his name.
Oh, his real name is it's Stevland, Stevland. Stevland, I don't know if that's how you say it. Hardaway Judkins was his
Judkins.
Name. Judkins, yep.
Yeah.
Born in
Stevie Judkins doesn't quite sound the same as Stevie Wonder.
Yep, from Saginaw, Michigan.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't there's no surprise that he was called Wonder.
Yes, yes.
Because he was a boy wonder.
He really was,
yeah.
And still is, and just an amazing, amazing career. While going, as a 12-year-old, singing and producing records. Also graduated from Michigan School of the Blind, too. So included his studies up through high school. Just an incredible, incredible career.
Wow. He's still going pretty strong.
Yes, he is.
So, yeah, that's amazing. Yep, that's one of the things you'll find there at auburnsports.com is Brian's musings every Monday. You've got all kinds of things. JG still doing his Another Day on the Beat.
Yes, yeah, still to his columns, and Justin writes columns, and of course we all write news stories on what's happening, the latest in Auburn athletics. Cole Pinkston does a great job with his analysis and recruiting analysis, and then Jeffrey Lee is all over recruiting, whether it's what's happening with the 2027 class, the 28 class. Done a great job of updating all of Auburn's top targets there, and I know recruiting is not as much interest in it as maybe it used to be because, you know, people get upset because the players don't necessarily stick right. around for long. But I really think the staff is recruiting as well as any staff they've had in a while, not just, you know, the top classes, but making really, really smart decisions too.
And yeah, they're getting after it for down the road for the future. Yes, there's no question. And like you said a while ago, I mean, now that they have the 28 quarterback commit, that's the piece you want there early on because having a marquee type quarterback is going to bring in the talent, especially offensively.
They pretty much secured the 27 class, right? There's 4 months to go, so you're going to have some
guys come and go. Yeah, they're at 25 or so commits for that. There'll be an addition or subtraction. Yeah, but
probably be some high-profile guys they chase, especially if they have a good
enough. If they have some success on the field.
Right, where there's a lot more momentum toward, hey, watch out for Auburn in the future. Here they come. Here comes Alex Golish. That might help them seal the deal and maybe some high-profile guys to sign late there. And then I would look for the 28 class to really start taking off this fall as they start visiting for games and such. And then, you know, before you know it, it'll be next year, early, more official visits. And I think they're already ahead of the game. I've seen other coaching staffs come in. It looks like it takes them a couple years to catch up sometimes. Mm-hmm. This class, these coaches have not needed that. They've jumped right in there.
The energy that the staff has had. I mean, that's something we've talked about, the energy at practice. I mean, that's just the way that Alex Golish, I think you've got to be to be part of his team.
Yes, you do. And there's a reason all these other coaches followed him too. They believe in it and they fit perfectly in what he wants to do. And it just says a lot about everything that so many guys followed him, players and coaches, to me.
Yeah, no question. All right, we'll get to our. So we don't know. We don't know if we can get our commercials in now. All right, we had problems with the internet a little earlier. Wow. That's we sort of heard something playing a little while ago. I don't know what happened there. So, well, I'll give Brian a chance to take a breath, take a sip there, as we will we'll continue on. We'd love for you to join us if you've got any.
Riley said we should be able to take it.
Oh, okay. All right. We're gonna see if we can go ahead and get to our final break here of the afternoon. Again, plenty of time for you to join us in the final few minutes here of the Monday Drive.
Friday morning, and then we'll talk to Coach Golish afterwards. So by then, you're going to have a really good idea, of the two deep of this team at just about every position. A lot of the position battles will be solved, or at least they'll have, hey, it's down to these two guys here and there, and early next the following week, they'll probably figure that out. But this is a really, really important week for this team. And these players competing for spots.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have an opportunity out there Wednesday morning to see how guys are lining up for the first day, and we'll get another one. What are we out there?
We're out there Thursday morning.
Yeah, Thursday morning. So the first 2 days in pads, we'll get a chance to see them before they have their first scrimmage. And I was asked, I'm Coach Golish has mentioned a couple times he'd like two scrimmages. So you figure that sometime late next week, next Friday or Saturday, when classes, probably Saturday, I would think, with classes going next week, that they'd scrimmage. And then he said they're going to go ahead and head into, game week type mode, get game prep in. And then
like a fall game week, kind of like a and then a real game week.
Right.
So, again, that's just one of those little things. I haven't had many coaches say it like that, but that's just like, hey, we're going to get ready for what a game week's going to be, and then we're going to have our first game week. So, again, maybe it's a small thing, maybe it doesn't matter, but I like it. It seems like a great idea. But
I just don't see many stones left unturned.
It's hard.
Every time we hear Alex Golish talk, there's something that he says, and you go, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But a lot of them are gee, why isn't everybody doing that? Or why haven't we done that before kind of thoughts?
In this first scrimmage, if there's going to be a scrimmage this fall where the physicality, maybe even tackling, those type things happen, it's probably going to be the first scrimmage, right?
Yeah.
As we move closer to the season, they're going to pull back a little bit on the contact to make sure everybody's ready to go. So this will be a really, really important scrimmage on Friday.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, as far as the guys that have been battling to try to earn spots on the two deep and in the playing rotation, this is when this is their opportunity.
Yeah. Especially on that offensive line, they've got to get the first five set and got to have those five guys playing together as much as possible, because they're all five, unless it's Best and Skinner together, but most of the five are going to be brand new to each mm-hmm. other, and it's really going to take some time for them to learn to play together.
Yeah, so I mean, here's where you want to hear that things are starting to click yep. there in that group.
Yeah.
I mean, we've heard good things early on, but again, they haven't had those pads on. We're going to get a chance to talk to both the offensive and defensive line coaches and some of their players
yeah,
as well.
Great.
So that'll be great. I think this week's going to be a big week as far as news.
Yes, I do too. And I think after this week, we'll have a really good idea about how this roster and two deep sets up, and what we got to figure out the final 3 weeks before the season gets started.
Now the other thing is you just hope there's not too much injury news
yeah.
because look, this is a time when. When I mean everybody is trying to get after it as hard as they can,
yep.
but hoping they get out of it as healthy
yep.
as they can.
And this is an Auburn team that does not have a ton of proven depth. So, and there are some key players. I don't want to name them all, but defensive line, edge rushers, mm-hmm. Offensive tackles that they need to keep healthy this season.
Oh, you're
for
right.
For them to have a chance to be as good as they can be.
No question. Brian, again, let everybody know how they can keep up with everything that you guys are doing and how to follow you as well.
Yeah, appreciate it. We'll have blowout camp coverage. Of course, we'll be out there tomorrow and all week with videos, instant updates on our boards, plenty of stories, interviews, recruiting, you name it, auburnsports.com. You can sign up right now online. We got a special going. I think it's 70% off.
Wow.
And of course, you can follow me on Twitter, such as X at BMATAU.
All right. That is going to do it for a fun Monday edition of The Drive with Brian. Jason Caldwell in tomorrow. We'll talk with Andy Burcham, voice of the Tigers as well. So hopefully you'll join us then. That's going to do it for today, though. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.